This is a CKTZ News update. The Cortez Active Transportation Planning Project, as it's formerly known, was conducted from January through July 13th of this year by the local municipality, the Strathcona Regional District, or SRD. The study affirmed what residents have been saying for years. Roads are narrow, shoulders are inadequate or non-existent, and the speed vehicles travel at is a concern. SRD Manager of Planning and Parks, Meredith Starkey, says collecting the data was useful and will help bring about investment to address safety concerns.
This is a very interesting project for me as someone who is fairly new to the district. There's nothing in it that is going to be a surprise to anyone from Cortez, I'm sure. But what we found repeated over and over again is that people generally are walking and cycling on Cortez, certainly walking more than cycling, and generally feel pretty safe walking, but they identified some key areas where people felt less safe. A lot of shoulders are not wide enough, for instance, for walking with a stroller, or the surface has debris or is not firm enough to accommodate mobility devices and that kind of thing. So it makes it a little harder for those with mobility challenges to walk around the island. So some of those things are important for us to hear because it helps us focus our attention on where those key areas of concern are.
Now, I couldn't help but notice, of course, as you say, the study was conducted in the survey and the face-to-face meetings, etc., back in January. You would have gotten one set of results then, but during the summertime, I would say right now, our population has swelled probably by two or three times. So it makes, I think, those issues that were identified probably considerably more exacerbated.
And I would expect that. And this project actually ran from January through July 13th. So we did gather survey results in, I guess, up through May. So we did hear from that. What we didn't capture in the survey was more of that seasonal population, which I know that Cortez booms with seasonal residents and tourists, of course, in the summer times. And so that is something that, you're right, is a bit of a gap in our study. We captured people who are more year-round residents. But certainly, I think, like you say, the issues that were identified are more likely to be exacerbated in the summer months rather than be eliminated.
One other thing, too, I was thinking about, Meredith, was that, first of all, what were the total numbers of responses you received, both maybe face-to-face and on the survey itself? I'm just trying to think of what percentage of the population may have taken part on Cortez.
So for the survey itself, we had about, I'm just pulling up those numbers, 92 responses to the survey, which the population of Cortez is about 1,000. You can see there that response rate. For the in-person, we actually did, I think we spoke to about, I want to say 5 or 6 people in-depth interviews, and that would have been through the Cortez Island Community Association and some of the other kind of key people that are involved in active transport on the island. We also had a community lunch with the Clahoos First Nation, and there were about 13 people in attendance at that. So broadly, I would say I'm rounding up, but probably about 120 people in total that contributed input to the survey or to the study.
And then it says that what will happen is that the results of the survey or the findings will then be incorporated into Cortez Island's official community plan, otherwise known as the OCP, and that'll begin next year. What's the process for that, Meredith?
So there's sort of two things that are coming forward, and there's the review of both the official community plan and also the Cortez Island zoning bylaw. And this study, as well as the housing needs report that was also completed just now, those kind of offer data that will inform what we might want to put into the OCP and the zoning bylaw. So the OCP is a visioning document that identifies areas where we want to encourage growth or preserve park, general objectives for the area. And then the zoning bylaw is the regulatory document that takes that vision and codifies it into something that is enforceable, hence land use regulations, that kind of thing.
I see.
Those two documents work together. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I see. That's good to know the process.
Yeah.
But the thing I'm, of course, as I say, is the proof is in the pudding. And that is, this definitely identifies some safety issues as well as maybe alternate types of routes for transport of different kinds. And I'm just wondering, where would the funding come from for those things, especially to improve safety? And then how quickly would any work begin?
Yes, and great question. And the answer, of course, is all sorts of different things. Ultimately, what this does is, so from the OCP and zoning bylaw perspective, one of the big things that we do is, as you're aware, I'm sure, the SRD does not have jurisdiction over roads on Cortez. So For the roads themselves, we play more of an advocacy role with the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure. So we can identify if there are areas where, so for instance, one of the responses that we heard in the survey a lot was that vehicle speeds were too high for some parts of the island. We have no jurisdiction over speeds, but we can share that information with the ministry and they can take that into an advisement. So that advocacy is ongoing and it's free, and that's just sharing information across the different governments that have jurisdiction. But the more important thing for us is we can take this and incorporate this into the official community plan, in that we can identify, like our trail network, we would identify areas where we might want to see that expanded. So if there are gaps, for instance, in pathways that people are using to commute between the city centers and the ferry terminals and that sort of thing, if we can identify that there are gaps that we could acquire land or land that we already have a right-of-way over, that kind of thing, then we can look to that as a possible capital investment for expansion of trail network or for identifying that as a future goal. And then how that's funded either comes out of grant funding. We're always seeking grant funding to build new infrastructure. And then if it's not provided through grants, then it would be something that is approved in our financial plan. And that is driven by the elected officials in the area.
And I guess then also lobbying the Ministry of Transportation and Infrastructure to perhaps do improve road safety or widen some shoulders or things like that.
Exactly that. So anything that is pertaining to the roadway would be an advocacy with the ministry. Absolutely. So that's one of the things that was brought up in the report, was like traffic calming measures around Manson's Landing, like a speed bump, for instance. That would all be something that would come from the ministry.
And then, as you say, in terms of grant funding, not unlike the survey itself, which came through the grant from the BC Union of Municipalities in BC, correct?
Exactly. So this grant is actually paired with another grant also provided by the UBCM, or Union of BC Municipalities. So this is the active transportation planning portion of the grant, but there is another grant offered that is for infrastructure investment. So now we can take the findings of the planning grant and use that to bolster our application to apply for the infrastructure grant.
And what was the total number or amount of funds available through both of the grants, Meredith?
This particular grant is $20,000 for planning, and I actually don't know the budget, the new total on the infrastructure grant, because we haven't applied for that one yet. But that would be, usually those are higher value grants.
Okay. Any ballpark figure you might know just off the top of your head?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know it's frustrating when you feel like you do study after study without infrastructure investment, but it's unfortunately that you have to have the data to justify the investment. So
yeah, as I understood, to do that. Yeah, and understood as well with the housing survey as well. That was very useful.
Yes. And the housing survey is, those are required that we complete those every 5 years. And it's always informative, but they're also highly prescriptive. We specifically must request. So I have the infrastructure grant here open, and I was just perusing quickly to see what the total is. It looks like it's $500,000 is the maximum. So definitely some opportunity there for some significant works.
Okay, and that could be specifically for Cortez or for the entire regional district?
Both. It could be for a specific electoral area or broad.
Greg Osoba, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.